Jeremiah 32. Now, three times in the Scripture, it says God cannot. Three times in the Scripture, it says God cannot. And like Brother David said last Sunday night, any time we hear something like that, we need to tune our ears in and see what's being said. Because that's a strong statement to make about God. That's a very, very strong statement to make about God. Look with me here at Jeremiah 32, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Anything. That's what he asked Abraham when he told Abraham that Sarah was going to have a son. Sarah laughed. Abraham laughed. He said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Anything. Turn with me over to Daniel 4 now. Just after Ezekiel, look at Daniel chapter 4. Daniel 4, look at verse 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? None can say, what are you even doing? None can say that to him. All inhabitants of the earth are nothing. It's all nothing. He said, don't turn to this, but he said in Isaiah 43, I will work and who shall let it? Who's going to stop me? He said in Isaiah 45, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. None. All right, now turn with me to Romans 9. Romans 9, verse 20 says, Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? This is God we're talking about. That's the point, is we're talking about God. God. The God. So to say God cannot, well, that's a fearful thing, isn't it? That's a fearful thing. That's something that every believer takes seriously. I'm afraid of those two words. As I say them, they roll off my tongue and I say them. Fearfully. I say it very carefully. Very, very carefully. We worship a holy God. A holy, holy God. An all-powerful God. And we always, by God's grace, we continually acknowledge Him for what He is. He's the Lord. He's Jehovah. He's the Lord. But those three things that God has said in His Word that He cannot do, those three things are our gospel. All right? Those three times, those three things, that's our gospel. Now, here's the first one. Go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Look with me at verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God cannot be tempted with evil. He cannot be tempted with evil. This is wonderful. He cannot be tempted with evil. Eve and then Adam were tempted with evil, weren't they? They were tempted. And they willingly fell into its clutches, didn't they? They were tempted by it. And they laid hold of it. Tempted by evil. But our God cannot be tempted with evil. His purity cannot be corrupted. Not at all. Not one ounce. All right, now hold your place right here and go with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4, verse 1 says, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The devil came to tempt him. Verse 2, And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. He was very hungry. He was a man. Here's the thing to understand. This is God manifest in the flesh, but he was man. I mean, he was 100% man, and he was hungry. Verse 3 says, And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written. That's how he answered him. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What he's saying is, now I'll wait on the Lord. I think I'll just wait on the Lord. Verse 5, Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. He's saying, jump off. If you're the Son of God, jump off. The angels will come catch you. Verse 7, Jesus saith unto him, It is written again. This is the greatest way to answer temptation. It is written. It is written. When anything comes our way, it's written. Scripture. Jesus saith unto him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He was not saying, Satan, don't tempt me. What he was saying was, I'm not going to tempt God my Father. I'm not jumping off. He said, jump off. They'll catch you. You know, sometimes we have that fatalistic view of things, don't we? Well, God's sovereign, so he said, I'm not jumping off. It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I'm not going to do it. Verse 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. God cannot be tempted with evil. I love that. He cannot be influenced in any way, shape, or form. All right, now go back to James 1. Look back again at James chapter 1. Verse 13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." That word tempted means entice. Enticed. God will never entice us with evil. Never. Never. Now, He will send trials to us. He will send trials our way. But those trials are not evil. You know, the Lord sends cancer to us and we think, well, you know, this is because I did something and now I'm being rewarded with evil. That's not true. That's all of His trials are good. They are all good. Those trials are producing and increasing faith in us, which is something we're going to look at in just a minute. Look right here in James 1 at verse 2. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." That's a different word. He said, be happy when you fall into temptations. That's not entice. That word means proofs. Count it all joy when you fall into these proofs. Verse 3 says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing." Our God will never entice us with evil. Never. He'll never send evil to us. Never. He cannot do it. There is none in Him. There's none in Him. The evil that is in us, the evil that is on us, the evil that's around us, that's all the work of our own doing. Look back at verse 14, James 1 verse 14. It says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." We brought that on ourselves. That's what He's saying. We do that to ourselves. Why do we do that to ourselves? Wouldn't it be just wonderful if we did not do that to ourselves? But we do. Even though we have ruined, we've absolutely ruined ourselves, and even though we are completely ruined by evil's corruption, our God can never be. He cannot be. He cannot be tempted with evil, and neither tempteth He any man. What that means is God is good. He's good. Everything He does is good. Everything He does for His people is good. All right, now go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here's the second thing God cannot do. 2 Timothy 2 verse 13 says, "If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself." That's the gospel. That is the gospel. He cannot deny Himself. He cannot do it. He can't. Thank God. He cannot do it. Go with me to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. Here's a sobering verse of Scripture. Matthew 10, verse 33, it says, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." That's a sobering verse of Scripture, isn't it? Whoever denies me before men, Him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. That's His law. That's His commandment. So let it be written. So let it be done. All right, now look over at Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 33 says, Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. You're going to deny me three times. Peter said, I'll never do it. All right, we just read, whoever denies me, I'll deny before my Father in heaven. We all said, I'm so glad I haven't denied him. Peter said, I'll never do it. He said, you're going to do it three times tonight. Just tonight. Verse 35, Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. All the disciples said that. Every single one of them. When it was all over, we know what happened to Peter. When it was all over, after Peter did exactly what this wicked flesh is prone to do. Verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. He just went out and cried and cried. He knew what the Lord had said. And he knew what he had done. Peter told everybody at Pentecost, You have all denied him. All of us. We have all denied him. No, I don't choose him. I don't want him. Consciously, unconsciously, this flesh denies him. I would rather not. No, he's not as important to me as. We have all denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto us. We have all cried, crucify him. All of us. Crucify him. But this is what our Lord said. He said, I and my Father are one. Isn't that what he said? We're one. God the Father and God the Son are one. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Isn't that what he said? We're one. Romans 8 and Hebrews 7 both say that he is seated at the right hand of God his Father, ever living to make intercession for us. Isn't that what he says? Every time one of his children is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, every single time, God makes intercession to God on his child's behalf. All right? God the Father and God the Son are one. They are one. If God is interceding to God, if God is interceding to God, they're one. God cannot deny God. Just cannot do it. If that's what God wants, God will give it to him. They're one. They're one. He cannot deny himself. He just cannot. For God the Son to plead to his Father, God the Father is pleading to himself. He cannot deny himself. God said, here's what I demand. Okay, if you deny me before man, I'm going to deny you. and you're going to die. Here's what I demand. That's what God said. This is what I demand. God said, here's the payment in full. God said, I'm satisfied. Thank God. Thank God. He cannot deny himself. He cannot be tempted with evil. He cannot deny himself. Here's the third thing God cannot do. Go to Titus 1. Titus 1. Verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. Every promise that He has given us in this Word, every single one, is yes and amen. Every single one. Is this really true? Is all this really true? Yes. Amen. So be it. Christ said, I am the truth. I am the truth. He cannot lie because He is truth. He is truth. When it comes to eternity, every soul ought to ask himself, do I know the truth? Every soul ought to ask himself, do I know and am I clinging to the truth? The answer is, if you're clinging to Christ, you are. If you're clinging to Jesus Christ, the man, then you are. All who cling to Christ, he said, they're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to make them free. Every single one. These three things right here that God cannot do, they magnify His glory and they magnify His gospel. They are His gospel to the infinite degree. The fact that He cannot be corrupted, sin will not. Everybody who's going to be in glory is going to be in Christ. Everybody in glory is in Christ. If a person wants to be in heaven, they have to be in Christ. Heaven is Christ. Outside of Christ, you're not in heaven. And Christ cannot be corrupted. Sin will never infiltrate ever again. And the fact that he cannot deny himself, hearing those two things, knowing that he cannot lie, that gives us hope. That's where our hope comes from. Hope means expected anticipation. We don't just hope, and I'm hoping. I'm not undoing these. Expected anticipation. We have hope. We have hope because he cannot lie. He cannot be corrupted. He cannot deny himself, and he cannot lie. And that gives us hope. Verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Thank God for those three things. Three glorious things. All right, you're dismissed.